Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's now the 8:30 hour, but tonight is not Wednesday night, it's Thursday night. I want to apologize because they had a glitch in the studio on last night that prevented you guys from calling in, and I received so many calls and texts about the lesson last night that they tried to get me to go on a little bit later last night, but the 8:30 hours is already late. So I decided to do it on tonight, and I see that you guys got the message because the board is lightening up. Lightening up. And I thank you. Our lesson tonight is coming out of the Old Testament book. It's coming out of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is a prophet in the Old Testament. And the title of our lesson is God Can Breathe Life in Any Situation. And I guess I could put a question mark behind it and ask, do you believe it? You know, we say we love God and we follow God and we trust God. And we say God is in total control. But do we really trust God with everything? Or do we just take some things to Him and some things we keep to ourselves and try to fix them? That would be the question. But I came to tell you that God can breathe, can give life to any situation. And our lesson, like I say, is coming out of the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, verses 1 through 14. At this time, I'm going to play a song that is so appropriate for where we are tonight. I think all of us could agree that there are so many things going on in our lives, around our lives, through our lives. You know, just things we didn't cause them to happen, but they're happening, and we are in it. You know, like the coronavirus, everybody can be affected, and many people have been affected, and you trying to not to get infected, and you have to worry about, you know, what you need to do to not get infected. And so, you see, we involved with that. And then, you know, when we look at injustice at every level, you know, it affects us as well. So all of the things and many of the things that are happening in our lives today, they affect us, and we can't really control it, and we can't change it. But we could trust God. When I look around today, if I'm sitting down and just looking at everything at face value and everything that's going on, one thing I know that is certain, and one thing has proven itself through it all, and that's Jesus. Jesus never changed. He never left us. He's always fair and justice with us. Jesus never changed. God never changed. So in a situation of so much uncertainty, and you have something that has proven itself to be certain, then I think it should be relatively easy to choose what you're going to believe, to choose which best fits you, your life, to choose and hold on to it. At this time, I'm going to play a song, and the song is Where Would I Be? I ask myself that all the time. If it had not been for God, just where would I be? Time, we're going to go to the throne of grace in prayer. And I always offer the opportunity for someone to lead us in prayer if you would like. So if someone would like to lead us in prayer, you could press the one button on your phone. And I'll open your mic and you could lift us up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, oh, we got two callers in press. All right. Caller, your number is 504-205. I'm going to open your mic first. And caller, your number is 715. I'm going to open your second. Thanks to both of you. Caller, your number is 504-205.
Come to you. Father God, we come to you this night to receive your holy word. We thank you, Father, because your word is all we have to depend on. Father God, when times are troubling, we have you, our Savior. Father God, we ask that the words that are delivered tonight from our sister are the words that you want to go forth, Father God. Father God, we look forward to your word. Father God, may we increase and grow in knowledge of you. And Father God, may we continue to depend on your holy word. These prayers and all other prayers I ask in your darling son Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, my sister. That's my sister Angelique. Thanks
You're so
for standing
welcome.
In the gap.
You're welcome. Praise be to God.
Thank you. And I have another caller. Your number is 504-715. I think that's Minister Elyria Mackey from Boothville, Louisiana. Is that you, Sister Minister Mackey?
Yes, ma'am, and I'll do the closing.
Okay. Sister Mackie says, since they had two up, to save time, she'll do the closing. All right. Glory be to God. Y'all get me excited now. And y'all know it don't take much. But tonight we're coming out of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet. A prophet is someone called by God to be used by God to give information to God's people, because God said he would never leave his people without knowing, and he spoke to his people through his prophets, and Ezekiel was one of them. There's not a lot of information we know about Ezekiel, but there's just a little bit, and it's enough. We know that God called him, okay? We know that because the Bible tells us so. But we're going to be in Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14, and I'm going to do a little bit of background, and our lesson title tonight, our lesson title tonight is God Can Breathe Life in Any Situation. And it is so true. So this is going to give us hope to know even more what God can do. And for a little background, I want you to know that Ezekiel was the author of the book that carries his name. You know, if you look up the meaning of names, you'll see that Ezekiel means God will strengthen. He was a priest, and he was carried away into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar when the Babylonians captured the Israelites. All right? He had a wife that died. Now watch this. God commanded him not to mourn his wife's death. And I guess y'all are asking and wondering why now, and say, I wonder why. Well, the Bible say the reason was because God wanted him to be an example for the Israelites not to mourn while in their current state, because help was on the way. And it was coming, but not by their timing, but by God's timing. God didn't want them moaning and grieving like they had no hope. Ezekiel wiped God and said, man, don't you moan. I want you to hold your head up high. And they could see how you deal with situation when it's not all the way like you want it to be. Come on, y'all. God say, Ezekiel, don't moan, but show my people how to stand up when everything seemed like it's all the way gone. You see, Ezekiel was a man of powerful intellect and apparently from the better class of those carried into captivity. Now, y'all have to remember when, first of all, and I can't get too much in this because it's another lesson, the Israelites was captured by the Babylonians. Now, if y'all go back with me a little bit, you'll remember that the Jews were so disobedient to God that he told them if they didn't get it right, that he was going to allow their enemies to come and overtake them. And he kept telling them, and he kept warning them, he kept telling them. And poor Jeremiah was weeping. That's why they call him the weeping prophet. And God kept reminding them. And then in one day it happened. So when they were taken by the Babylonians, you see, they took the best men when they captured places, and they used them for their good. Y'all can remember when the slavery time, and when they got the ship docked, and the slaves was standing out to be sold, and you know some slaves got first preference because they had a lighter skin color. Come on, y'all, and some slaves, you know, looked like they were stronger than others. And some slaves, every now and then, they had one that could read. And so on and so on. So they picked the best of the crop. And that's how Ezekiel was in Babylonia. Now, I want you to know this, because if you really read Ezekiel 37, you may be still wondering, because I did get calls of people saying, is it this or is it that? Is it this or this or that? So I do understand that. But I want you to know that the 37th chapter, before we get into it, because it don't make no sense to not to understand it. The 37th chapter of Ezekiel is divided into two prophecies. The first prophecy deal with the vision of the dry bones. So that's the lesson we're going to explore tonight, 1 through 14. That's the first prophecy that God gave Ezekiel. We're not going to talk about 15 to 28, but that's the second prophecy, which deals with one kingdom, which is symbolic, acting, forecasting the future union of Israel and Judah. Now, okay, the second prophecy that we're not going to talk about, if you guys remember, they had one tribe of Israel. It was the United Kingdom. They had 12 tribes, and they were all united. And because God was so displeased with them, he said he would divide the kingdom. But Solomon was king, and because God had made a promise to King David about the tribes being united, God said, I'm not going to divide the nation until after Solomon must die. That was part of Solomon's promise. That was part of Solomon's punishment as well for all the idolatry and the women that he brought into God and all of the worshiping of the false god he allowed in his watch as king. And then you remember David had all of the bloodshed on his hands, the blood of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, that he tried to cover up one wrong by committing another wrong, and God told him he would have trouble in his house forever. His child died, and so on. So the second, because plenty of people read the whole chapter, the second prophecy in the 37th chapter is talking about one day God is bring, finally bring the two divided kingdom, the northern and southern, together. So when he say, take that stick and write this name, take that stick and write that name and put it together, he's telling them that it's going to happen. Now, the next question everybody asked me about that particular prophecy, the second prophecy we're talking about. Now, I'm going to clear that up and we're going to go with the first. In the second prophecy, they was asking, was it ever fulfilled? Did the tribes come together and become one united nation again? Not until this day. Still this day is still a southern and a northern kingdom is what they call it. But when Ezekiel was prophesying, he was talking about that great day. The great day when we will rise to be with Christ. And everybody who have accepted Christ as their king, as their Messiah, will be saved. So he was talking about the kingdoms being united at that time, not this time, not on earth, but when Jesus come back again. So it has not been fulfilled yet. There's still a northern kingdom, and there's still a southern kingdom. And you know, in the two kingdoms, they had 12 tribes, 10 tribes went went one way, and two tribes went to the next way, to the north and south. And that's why they got the northern and the southern kingdom. All God had did, they couldn't even stay straight enough to stay one united kingdom. So when we see things going on and people not being obedient and listening to God, in our lifetime today, it is no secret. There's nothing new under the sun. God had made them the chosen nation. Chosen nation. They was one unified nation. And because of disobedience, it got divided. And God always promised them that the Jews is going to come back to their rightful place. That's what's in that prophecy, y'all, that they're going to come back. But the thing is, many Jews have came back to their rightful place, but all Jews don't accept Christ. So the prophecy in the second half of 37th chapter has not been fulfilled, and God was telling Ezekiel to tell the Jews that one day they will be together, not this time. So that's the second part. Now, let's get to the part we was talking about. In verses 1 through 14, which I asked you to read, it was the first prophecy, and it was a vision of dry bones. And that's what we're going to read the scripture, and we're going to see what he's saying, and we're going to see exactly what he wants us to know. 37 and 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. 2. And caused me to pass by them around and about, and behold, there were very many in an open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, This is Ezekiel talking. God came. God put his hand on Ezekiel. See, the hand of God was upon me. That's so God tell him, now, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel saying, I answered, O Lord God, thou know it. Ezekiel say, I don't know, but you know. So when we look at this, like I say, this is a prophecy. And you see, the thing that was unique about Ezekiel, whenever God gave other people prophecy, he spoke to them, because they would always say, thus saith the Lord. And you know, that's what God spoke to them, and that's what they spoke to the people. But when we look at Ezekiel, Ezekiel was a little different. God spoke to him through dreams and visions and analogies and parables. Come on, y'all. So that's how he got his information from God. So when we look at this, and he said the hand of the Lord was on him, and he was in there with all them bones, and he's getting a vision, y'all. He's visualizing this. And then I could give a little piece on that. You see, God called Ezekiel son of man. Whenever someone is called son of man in the Bible, it's just calling, saying that they are human. And I don't know if God always called Ezekiel son of man, because Ezekiel was always dealing with visions. And they might have thought he was more than just a mere man. But God kept it in perspective. So every time he talked to Ezekiel, he called him son of man. Come on, y'all. Ezekiel is thus reminded of his humanity, especially when he's permitted to have contact with God, so much contact. God wanted to keep him grounded, and he called him, look, son of a man. Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones came to him after God had directed him to prophesy the rebirth of Israel in chapter 36. So I had to go back to chapter 36 and see what God was telling them. Now, get your mind in the place. Remember, they were captured Babylonians. And they had been captured for 70 years. And God is telling them, God announced through his prophet that Israel will be restored. You see, and they took them out of their land, and they brought them to Babylonia. But God said, I'm going to get you back to your land, and I'm going to restore the things that you need to be restored. He said, because God used an illustration and gave him a vision of dry bones, because bones is dead. And dry bones represent something that's been dead a long time ago. And bones itself represent no life. God was telling Ezekiel to tell the people that he knows that all of their hope is gone. He knows that they waiting for something to happen. Tell them help is on the way. I know your struggles. I know how long you've been like this. He said, I know you feel as if you're dead as a nation. You were deprived of your land. Your kings was gone and your temples was destroyed. He said, not only that, you divided into two nations and despised for so long that unification and restoration seem impossible. So in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, God gave Ezekiel the vision of the dry bones as a sign to show them how he was going to do it. Come on, y'all. when we look at our situations here, we got some things that's happening in some people's life. They feel like it's dead. There's no hope. But I want you to tell you that just like God spoke to Ezekiel to speak to the people, the word of God tonight may be speaking to you and in your life. Those situations, battles, adversities, trials, and tribulations that's going on in us and through us and around us that seem there's no hope, God is going to show you like he showed Ezekiel to tell an Israelite that help is on the way. And if we look at verse 4, again he said unto me, Ezekiel talking, prophesy upon these bones. God told Ezekiel to prophesy on the bones and say unto them, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you should live. All right? 6 says, and I will lay sinew. What that he's talking about, that, that's the strong tissue that connect muscle to bone. Come on, y'all. He said, I'm going to put some sinew, you know, upon you. Talking about the bone. God is telling this to Ezekiel to tell the people. And I will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. God is telling Ezekiel what to tell them. And number 7. So Ezekiel now says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Hallelujah. And as I prophesied, there was noise. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to put y'all imagination caps on. Now, it's a valley of dry bones. And the bones have been there so long, that's why they call it dry. But now we see God tell Ezekiel, man, tell him this. He said, tell him I'm going to breathe in him and they're going to live. I'm going to put flesh upon him. I'm going to put some tissue between the bones. Come on, y'all. So Elijah told him what they said. What God said. And then there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones became together. This is the vision now, y'all. But can y'all visualize it? You know, they got a song said, the neck bone connected to the feet bone and the feet bone connected to the ankle bone, you know, and all like that. But understand, you know, when we talking about, now you got to realize Ezekiel getting his vision. And Ezekiel seeing them bones being connected by the power of God. And the bones start coming together. Each bone to the next bone, his bone. And Ezekiel said, when I behold, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them. Now, all the bones connected back again. Y'all know how many bones it takes for the human body. But all those bones and all those little bones connected. And as they was connecting, there was some noise and shaking going on. And Ezekiel could hear it and he could see it. And now all of the bones are where they need to be. And now he put the sinew and the flesh upon them. And then skin began to cover them. So now they all put together. They got bones and marrow and they got skin on them and it was covered. And Now, but look what he said right here. I'm in the eighth verse. And when I beheld, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Elijah, saying, God told him, prophesize unto this. He said, I prophesied to the wind. Prophesize, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon be slain, that they may live. So Ezekiel prophesied to the wind. The wind came in. The wind came and blew in him. So look at 10. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly a great army. Can God do it? Can God do it? You see, God transported Ezekiel, not literally, but in a vision, to a valley of dry bones and directed him to speak to the bones. Ezekiel was to tell the bones what God would make, that God would make breath into the bones, and they, as in the creation of man, when the breath came into Adam. See, Adam did become a living soul until he was breath. Now, see, God took the bones and put them together and put the skin on them. That's the physical part. But you see, when God's breath was upon them, that's the spiritual. God want to take care of us physical and spiritual. God wants to make us whole in every situation, in every level of our lives. You see, this gives us a glimpse of the omnipotence of God. He has power in his hand, and there's nothing that he can't do. Do y'all believe that? If you don't even know the 66 books in the Bible, and you believe God can do anything and cannot fail, you got enough to make it through the day. Because all you got to do is trust him with your whole heart. Lean not to your understanding. You got troubles with your family? Trust God. You got troubles with your health? Trust God. You got trouble with your finances? Trust God. Because you see, the Bible tells us the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world, and everything that dwells therein. Anything you need, God's got it. You see, the dry bones received their commands and stood upon their feet as a great army. These prophecies were given to Ezekiel to give hope to the Jews, God's chosen people. Hope to the people in the United States of America. Hope to the people around the world, different nations. Hope to all of God's all of God's creation globally. In other words, God let him know, if I can do this, come on, y'all, this is the whole lesson. I can just drop the mic and leave. God is letting them know and letting us know, and he definitely let me know that if I could do this with dry bones, imagine what I could do for you. Even though they was in captivity. And guess what, y'all? They was in captivity because God allowed judgment to come on them. And guess what? God orchestrated the Babylonians to take them. When the war broke out, God took his hand off of the Jews, and the Babylonians captured them. But that was a part of God's plan. And God had prophesied it years and years and years and years through his prophets to the people to get it right. But they didn't. It happened. And even though God raised up the Babylonians to capture and enslave the Jews? Do you know God still chastised the Babylonians? And there's a lot of discussion saying that, well, that was wrong. Just like when God, they say God kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. If the man wanted to let him go, why would you harden his heart? First of all, God knew everything. Pharaoh had a hard heart, and his heart was going to be hardened anyway. And the Babylonians wasn't choir boys, and God knew that about them. They were treacherous and mean, but God allowed them to capture the Israelites, but God still chastised them when it was over. Read it. It's so amazing. And every time you see God giving a prophecy of gloom and doom, there's always a prophecy of hope if you keep reading. And if we get to verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. He said, look, these bones represent Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our part. 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, God said, they talking about ain't nothing left, and they sow this, and they just out of it, and, you know, they dried out, and they hopeless. He said, thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves, and bring you to a land of Israel. 13, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, have spoken it and perform it, said the Lord. He don't really mean he's going to take them out of the grave, but take them out of their doom and gloom, taking them out their ashes. You know, when somebody died, they used to put ashes all over them and things like that. God said, look, I'm going to rise you up. Just hold on. See, that's what God is telling some of us. Yeah, it looked like you can't pay your mortgage, but hold on. It ain't over till it's over. Yeah, you might get infected with the coronavirus, but you know there was many of them that didn't have no symptoms and effects and stuff. Hold on. You see, this vision symbolizes the whole house of Israel. Come on, y'all, that was then in captivity, like unburied skeletons. And see, God used that. If you really do your homework, you'll see there was so much war going on, just like now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. See, like in Texas right now, they got so many bodies, they're getting them refrigerators, and they dumping the bodies in there. You see, when these battles was going on in Israel and in Babylonian and Assyrians and the Palestinians, and all of these things, and even the ones, they had so many bodies that they left them, you know, in certain places. And I'm not telling you that the Valley of the Dry Bone was an actual place because it's a vision, but I want you to visualize it, and I could give you the bodies that they're putting in them refrigerators right now. Y'all saw on the TV when the China had so many bodies from the coronavirus, they was dropping them in a gully. So imagine some years past and how that ain't going to be nothing but a valley of dry bones. I'm trying to get you to visualize it. And we here in the United States of America, you know, in one day they could have 40,000 new cases of coronavirus. Corona is no joke, y'all. And just as these Israelites were disobedient, people in the United States and all around the world are disobedient today. They say, wear a mask. I saw some things happen on the TV when if people try to ask somebody about wearing a mask, the lady turned around and spit in the lady's face. Ignorance. Piety, disobedience. There's nothing new under the sun. If you want to see how God allowed the Israelites to get captured by the Babylonians and by the Assyrians, just check it out. And you can see some of the foolishness happening here today because disobedience is still alive and well. And see, we come to Bible study and we pray because we want to be more obedient to God than we are right now. You see, like unburied skeletons, the people were in a state of living death. Come on, y'all. It seemed that there was no end. No end. Do we see no end every day? It's something new. Is that how we feeling today? The same way they felt? And I want to tell you, not everybody was stupid. Not everybody was disobedient because God said he's going to always have remnants. And there's remnants here now as well. But you could see a lot of foolishness and disobedience from the people. You could see the leadership inability and to do what is right for God's people. But there's a scripture where God said the heart and of the kings is in his hand, and he got them where he wanted them to go. Now, I can't tell you if all of this that God orchestrated, and I can't tell you that if God's just going to allow it. But if God didn't orchestrate all of this, he's definitely allowing it. And whenever God allows something, he's going to make sure he get his glory from it. And he's going to let it go on even in his allowing till he say enough is enough. So even if God didn't orchestrate this because of disobedience, because some people could get before you and tell you, and I know, God, you don't know. God said his thoughts is high from yours as the sky from the dew on the ground. And some of the signs look like he orchestrated, and some of the signs look like he didn't. But, you know, sometimes you ask, God give you what you ask for. You know, President Trump was voted in. The people, the majority ruled. Well, not with the votes, but with the Electoral College, but that's still the law of the land. So he won. In the Bible, it brings me to King Saul that the Israelites wanted a king when they was being, God was instructing them by judges, and they wanted a king because the other nations had a king, and they kept asking for a king, and they kept sending, hallelujah, Samuel to God to get a king, and God said, okay, they want a king, give them a king. And the king that they got was Saul, and I come to tell you, Saul was a hot mess. If you look at Saul and you look at Trump and put them side by side, and I'm going to leave that alone. Go read your Bible, because there's nothing new under the sun. So they didn't have no end up to judgment in sight. They thought their hope was gone and they were cut off forever. The surviving Israelites felt their nation's hope had been dashed and the nation had died in the flames of the Babylonian attack with no hope of resurrection. But you see, here God let them know, I will restore you. Hallelujah. He's telling us that, y'all. I don't know when and I don't know how. But God is going to restore, just like he told them. He said, I will take away all of your suffering. Can you hold on tonight, y'all? Because God said, help is on the way. He said, I will renew your spirit within you, and ye shall live again and place you back where you belong. Come on, y'all. Some of these broken homes, children not speaking to parents and parents not speaking to children. Y'all, come on. God said, I'm going to restore it. Come on, y'all. He said, I didn't promise you a rose garden, but I promise you victory. Hallelujah. You see, in our lives, there have been, and I'm talking to someone who ain't never had no problem. In our lives, there has been, and I could tell you this, if you think you haven't never had one, just keep living. Because James, in the book of James, said when you fall into divers of temptation, trials, tribulation, adversities, he didn't say if you fall. He said when you fall. Jesus took away the sins of the world, but the consequences belong to us. Certain things going to happen. When Katrina came and wrecked it, there were Christians who died in Katrina. And there are Christians, I'm talking about good Christians, that died with the coronavirus. But God is doing what he want to do. And that's why you got to be able to say, God, it is well. Because you see, if you woke up this morning, God has his eyes on you. Did you take time to say thank you? Did you take time to say thank you? You see, there's going to be a lot of suffering and sickness, injustice, police brutality, problems, racism, trouble in the home, trouble in the families, trouble on the job. And then they're going to add to that, they're going to have a lot of hurt and despair. But I come to tell you tonight, just as God spoke to Ezekiel, God said, man, can I make these dry bones live? And God can make dry bones, brittle, dry bones that's been dead, rise and stand in his feet and didn't breathe it out. What more can he do for you? God is speaking to us tonight. Help and our help is on the way. God can take these dry bones in your life, put them back together again so that you may have life and life more abundantly. Didn't Jesus say that's what he came to do? But it's never your timetable, but it's his time. Not your will, but his will. And it's going to be done. You see, just as he told Jeremiah, that's Ezekiel, boy, Jeremiah. He said in Jeremiah 20, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You see, God never set us up to fail. And we can see clearly tonight that where God guides, he also provides. Jesus is the answer to everything today. But there's no other. Jesus is the only way. You got to understand it. No matter how it look, no matter how it tastes, no matter how it feel, if I could ask everybody to close their eyes right now and think of the worst thing that ever happened to them in their life, and then you open your eyes, and didn't that too did pass? God ain't finished with you yet. Provisions are always attached, but you have to believe it to achieve it. And I tell you again, help is on the way. And I got to tell you this, too. You got to let go and let God. You got to give him your all because you want all of him. And he will see you through. Plenty of people been praying, and I did it several times, too. I said, God, how long are we still going to be under this? And all I could hear him saying, don't worry, baby. Help is on the way. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to say anything, ask questions, or add to it, anything, you can press the one button at this time, and I'll open your mic. If nobody else would like to say anything, but they don't feel they need to say anything, I pray that everybody enjoyed the lesson tonight that was supposed to come yesterday. God, see, I got this. He said, I don't have one day named Wednesday. He said, I own 7 days. He said, do it Thursday. And that's why we're here tonight. And I thank each and every one of you that called back in. Caller, your number is 504-256. You press the button. Your mic is open.
I just want to thank you, Minister Diane, for such a wonderful lesson tonight. It was a beautiful lesson. I thank God for you, and I pray that he continue blessing you and crowning your head with that wisdom and knowledge that come from him. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, my sister. This is Sister Pam.
Yes, ma'am.
Love you. Thank you.
Love you, too. You're welcome.
Anyone else need to say anything at this time? Oh, we have another call. Caller, your number is 208-88. Your mic is open.
Hey, Diane, I want to say thank you for the lesson. It was encouragement is what I needed to hear. I had a conversation with my mom the other day, and I'm like, people, I don't know about nobody else, but I be like, when is it going to change? When? And my mom was like, you just be still, and you let God do what he needs to do. And even though we're committed to calling in different times a day and we're praying collectively and we're doing it individually, we're only human, and if people, you know, are honest with it, if they have a lot of things going on and they need answers, they need some type of remedy to the solution, and we're doing what we need to, or we're trying to, we have the questions of will it ever happen? Is it going to happen? When? So, and
well,
I know different people.
One thing I could
they make a different thing.
Go ahead, baby. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that I know some people go through different things, and what I'm learning about life is that you don't discredit somebody else's feelings or what they're going through, because what might be minor to you may be major to the next person. So you can't say that people may have minor things going on or major things where they need God to move. It's just, you know, what do we do? So that the word tonight was encouraging. It's something that I needed to hear, because the enemy, if you're not careful, can get in there and discourage you and have you looking at things in a different light. We'll try to anyway. So I needed to hear this, and I thank you for the word, and I thank you for the platform again, and the ministry, and like Miss Pam just said, your wisdom and you being able to break it down to us and just telling us to hold on. And I do also pray that you continue to have the strength that you have with managing the ministry. You know, you're getting up every day, every morning, praying with us. You have people calling about different things and different needs and studying and preparing lessons and then meeting with all of the ministers and those that are coming into their calling to help with teaching and things of that nature. It's a lot. And then you have your own family. You have a daughter and a son and a grandson and your other things that you know, that you take care of. So we thank you very much. I want to say thank you really for tonight, because this is what I needed to hear. And I also wanted to say before I get muted again that I love you very much.
Thank you so much, Tamika. And if it's any consolation, the Jews was in captivity in Babylonia for 70 years. So I guess they said a lot of how many, or how long. And then we got to realize that, and then you got to look at the Israelites. Now, I'm talking about God's chosen people, the Jews. You know, they went to Egypt in peace, but it became bad, and they was in Egypt, and they was crying out to God because they made them slaves, and God sent Moses, and they was in Egypt a long time. Okay, and then God sent Moses and delivered them, and they went into the wilderness. And they stayed in the wilderness, what, 40 years? Or was it 400? Tell me somebody, press your one, because I got it all in me right now. They stayed in, hold on, Illyria, I just opened you. How many?
40 years.
Illyria, 40, right?
Yeah,
okay,
40 years.
I had it right, y'all. I be saying so much. Sometimes if I get a little kink, I'm trying to think if I see it right. But it was right. They stayed in the wilderness 40 years. But look what happened. They were saying when God was going to free them. And God freed them. And when God got them to the cross the sea, they told God they should have left us in Egypt. So we have to learn to be thankful. And we have to trust God. They was telling him how long.
Well, you know as well,
God
see, Diane.
Huh?
No, I say, but you know as well, even what you're teaching and what you're showing me in the Word, even what you're looking for that may not be His will for you, and you have to just be prepared for your no, and like you say, to still say it as well. So, there's a flip side to everything, so all we could do is just pray and wait and just hope. So, again, thank you so much for all that you do.
And the second part of this prophecy that I didn't expound on because I didn't give it, God was telling them he's going to restore them when Jesus comes and be their king. Well, that's really on the other side, that all of us have the promise for too. See, we're going to live in eternity, where it will have no end. There will be no heartache, no pain, no misery, no strife, no financial pressure, no sickness, no disease, no animosity, no big eyes, no little you. And we're going to live like that forever. Because you see, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, you will be also. He said, because in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, Tamika. This side might not give you all you want, but I got something better for you. And this side may seem long, but it's all temporal. He said, believe me, this is temporal. If you live to be 120, it's temporal compared to eternity. He's saying, I got it laid out for you. He's saying, you see everything you do when you try to do right and when you try to do better, and you don't just do like anybody do it because they could do it. He said, you're filling up yourself with rewards and crowns. He said, all of the things you do for me, Tamika, on this side is going to carry over to eternity for you, baby. He said, because the things you do for Christ going to last. You bring them with you. Everything else fades away. So, yes, God wants us to have the best on this side. But God knows after this, there's something even more better. But you see, God is so, so divine that he could just look at it like that. See, he's finite and we infinite, and we can only see what we see plenty of times. And that's why the word is God is trying to get us to see all the way across, instead of just being focused on what we have now. And that's why in a situation we could say it is well. And I have one more caller. Thank you so much, Tamika.
You're welcome.
So I had another caller, but they must have hung up. And that's our lesson for tonight. Oh, that is. Caller? I just seen it and then it dashed away. This something must be going on with this board. The person number was a false up. Here you go. Caller, your number is 504-458. Your mic is open.
Hi, Mrs. Diane. I really enjoyed that lesson. Yes, and it's so funny. Tamika, I understand exactly what she's talking about. Sometimes what might seem not that important, you'll be looking like, whew, that's not that important. You worried about that? But it's real, real major to that person. And, you know, it's so amazing because what's really major to what everybody is dealing with is really major to them. So I love that you brought that up, and that's so important that we don't minimize other people, what they're going through, their situation. And it's so crazy because when you do wonder, like, when, why? And when you say, like, 40 years in the wilderness, I'm sure they was like, when? Even during slavery, like, when is this slavery going to be over? So God has his perfect timing for everything, and it is so amazing that we just have to be still and wait on him. And what's really important is that when he say no, you better listen, because then we find ourselves going around in that circle, just like the in the wilderness again, 40 years. We could have ended in 1 or 2 years. Is going to be longer and longer if you're just doing it your way instead of saying, oh, God, this is your will, okay. So that is always my prayer, that when God tells us to do something, that he will prepare us to be able to do it, because that's the part that hurts when you don't want, you know, when you know he's saying do this and you're like, oh, my God, I don't know how I'm going to do that without your strength. But I enjoyed that lesson so much, and I always liked the dry bones and never understood it, but you made it a lot, you know, a little easier to understand. And when I read the whole chapter 2, I was like, wait a minute, this ain't happened yet. The second part, I'm glad you told me that's 2 prophecies, because I didn't know that either. But thank God, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, my sister Elizabeth. Glory, hallelujah.
You're welcome.
Well, I try my best not to go over time, and it's a, you know, it was really good, and I thank each and every one for calling in, and I have to now do a prayer before we can close, or either a benediction, and Minister Mackey is going to do that for us, because she had pressed the button earlier. So, Minister Mackey, can you give us a prayer or benediction, whatever your pleasure?
Thank you, Lord God. And, God, I ask that you would watch between me and thee as we are absent one from another, Lord God. And, God, I thank you because your word says that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we come together that we can get more of you and that we can grow, Lord God. And God, I ask that everyone that was listening in, Lord God, whether by the phone ways, Lord, by the computer, Lord God, that they would be blessed throughout this weekend, that they got a word that would carry them in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for Minister Diane. I lift her up in prayer, Lord God, that you would be her strength in the name of Jesus. We reverence you, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. I even pray for those that are on the prayer list, oh God, that you would touch and meet every need. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much. That's our program for tonight. I love each and every one of you. I pray God allow us to come back next week. And I thank all of my sisters and brothers from the Image of Christ by Acts of Love. Joining in on the Wednesday night Word of Wisdom. We really growing, y'all. We are really becoming a family. Thank God for each and every one of you. And I'm just happy, y'all. We just came out of 3-day fast. I know I got to get off the line, but we just came out of 3-day fast, and it was awesome. And the overflow is still flowing me over. Hallelujah. So I just say thank you. That's our program for tonight. If God be, I pray that God be with us until we meet again. Thank everybody and good night.